Amen. What a great song. Such great sentiments as we sing about Jesus being a king and a fount of blessing. Fountain of blessing, not a trickle, a fountain of blessing. And I think that's such a great sentiment for us to think about. And I'm just grateful to be here this morning, grateful to be here with all of you, grateful to serve God, grateful to just worship him. And if you are visiting with us, we just want to say welcome home. We're grateful that you are here. Whether you're physically in this building with us, whether you are online, we are grateful that you're with us. And for those of you that don't know me, my name is Jeff Hickman. I'm one of the ministers here. I've been here along with my beautiful wife of 23 and a half years. We have been here since January of 2007. And now our two kids are college aged. Wow. Okay. Mind bender. And one of them is actually serving in the children's ministry right now, where she used to actually physically be in there herself as a kid. And by the way, while I just mentioned that I was married for 23 and a half years, I need to say that there's a couple among us that has been married for 46 years today. So Ross and Kim McKenzie, happy anniversary to both of you. Amen. So encouraging. And it's also Ross's birthday. Smart man. That's smart. That's some wisdom right there. He ain't gonna ever forget his anniversary. Amen. But, and, you know, like Sherwin mentioned, today our service is gonna have a little different flow. We're gonna switch it up a little bit. Similar to last week, if you were here with us last week. So today you're not gonna hear one of our preachers kind of preach a sermon. You're gonna hear from each other, right? You know, last week we heard from a married couple. We heard from a father in his 50s, and we also heard from a single sister last week, just sharing about what they have gleaned from our series on the Sermon on the Mount. And so this week, you know, we're going to hear from one of our single brothers. Alex is going to share a little bit and pray. And we're also... Wow. Fired up. Amen. So we're also going to hear from, you know, one of our, I guess you call it empty nester. And we'll also hear from a college student. So, you know, thank you. So hopefully over these last couple of weeks, you see a cross section of people that you can hear from, sharing again about their, what they've been learning, what they're gleaning from studying the Sermon on the Mount. And so the flow will be a little different in that they're going to share a little bit, and then they're going to lead prayer. We're going to have more prayer in the service, as Sherwin mentioned. So just calibrate your mind to some more prayer, right? So this might not be the rah, rah, yeah, yeah type vibe service, but we don't need that every Sunday, do we, right? We can still connect. And so lean into the prayers. You might want to say a phrase to yourself again that someone prayed. You might want to just audibly say amen because something resonated with you when someone prayed. Don't just be a robot and sit and get. Lean in to the prayers even and engage. You know, don't go on autopilot. I just want to encourage you with that. Even our songs are going to be really prayers as well. So you can even as you sing can kind of be in that moment, in that connection with God. So, you know, without further ado, I just want to give it up here to allow Alex to share a little bit what he wants to share, and he'll say a prayer, and then we'll kind of move into everyone else sharing as well.
Good morning, everybody. My Bible open here. Good morning. As Jeff shared, my name is Alex. I'm part of the East Cobb Sandy Springs community. And I'm really grateful for the opportunity to talk about prayer this morning. For me, I feel like over the last several weeks, months, as we've been going through the Sermon on the Mount, for me, the thing that has stood out most is that we often look at the Sermon on the Mount as a series of moral teachings, right? Do not murder. It's a good one to follow. Or moral things that we should do, like if you're angry, go and make it up to somebody. Right? Be at peace with your brother. Don't make oaths. I think we tend to key into those really easily. But prayer is one of those aspects that I think it doesn't have to do with anyone, really, but it's between us and God, right? And we pray as a community, but not necessarily for our relationship with one another, but for our relationship with God. And I'm really grateful that Jesus gave us a prayer that we can follow. And so, as I've been looking at this and thinking, it's not just about the moral things that we do, but in 1 John it says that if we will follow Jesus, we must walk the way that he walked. And the way that he walked was as a man of prayer. So, as we've been studying this out, I've been really trying to devote myself to what does it mean to really pray this, right? When it says, our Father in heaven, that it's not just some random God, but it's our God, it's our Father. And he says, hallowed be your name, right? It's not for our glory, it's his. His kingdom come, not about what we can build. And his will is done, not what we think needs to happen. We ask him, give us this day our daily bread, our daily supplication, the things that we need, and forgive our debts, as we know we have so many, to one another and to God himself. Then teach us also to forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. So what I'd like to do this morning is I'd like to pray through this to start, and then pray. Pray with me, please. Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come and your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Lord, we pray that you give us our daily bread and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but please, Lord, deliver us from evil. Father, thank you so much for being our Father, God. What a revolutionary statement it is that you're not an abstract force, that you're not a distant and cold deity on top of a mountain somewhere, God, but that you incarnated to be with us. Lord, glory be to your name. Lord, we pray that your kingdom come. Lord, that we pray that we worship today and be your people as you would see us be, not as we think or as we feel we need to be, but God, as you commanded. Lord, we ask that your will is done today in us on earth. Lord, please give us our daily bread as we take communion today. Give us what we need. And Lord, forgive us our debts as we know that we're not worthy to take part of such a mystery. And Lord, teach us to forgive those who are sitting next to us, those who may be far off, those that we may need to let go of things in our past. And Lord, teach us to forgive as Jesus forgave on the cross. And Lord, please, in such a broken and hurting world, do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us, our neighbors, and our community from evil. Amen.
I'm honored to be able to share about the one specific beatitude. But in setting that up, I wanted to let you know a great resource that you might, if you want to shake up your idea of the Sermon on the Mount, and specifically the Beatitudes, The Divine Conspiracy by Dallas Willard will do that for you. He maintains that perhaps the Beatitudes aren't just things to aspire to, but Jesus was actually being provocative. Imagine that, Jesus being provocative. To get people to let go of maybe the way they thought about who was in and who was out of the kingdom of God, and instead opening up the kingdom of God for everyone. So the specific one that I want to talk about is, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the sons of God. So doesn't the idea of peacemaker, doesn't that just warm your heart? It used to for me. Because I was thinking that was, like all the other Beatitudes, something I need to aspire to, somehow to be worthy of entering the kingdom of God. And so Dallas really shattered that along with some other scholars. But what I came to see, and if you think about a peacemaker, let's think about law enforcement. When they show up at a domestic incident, that is actually the most dangerous place to be. Because they're not representing each side. They're trying to make peace between the two. And the two sides don't trust them because they're not on their side. So that law enforcement is not blessed to be in that situation. And the idea that we're blessed because of this, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said you're not blessed because you're a peacemaker. Really, grammatically, it's more about, in spite of being a peacemaker, You can be blessed if you're in the kingdom of God, because that's what the entire Sermon on the Mount is about, is Jesus is modeling what it looks like to live in the kingdom of God the way he did, not the way as my wife Lindsay said yesterday, the religious aristocracy said it was. So blessed are the peacemakers. So growing up, I was the peacemaker in my home. I was the middle child. I grew up in a chaotic, alcoholic, violent home from generations of alcoholics. My parents were very broken in their own ways, from depression to sexual abuse to other things. And so they carried that into their marriage and into our family. And as the years went by, I became more and more, tried to be a peacemaker. So tried to referee between them, tried to stop the violence, tried to stop the alcoholism. And so at an early age, by 9 or 10 years old, I had been formed into this person that felt like I needed to fix my family. I needed to be a make it happen kind of person that carried me through into my adult life. And that is not what God wants for a child, for really any of us to do. He doesn't need fixers. He needs people that are connected to him that can model that kind of relationship. What I love about this is blessed are the peacemakers because in the kingdom of God, they can become the sons of God. And so in the kingdom, when I really began to understand what the kingdom was, and that's shifted dramatically in the last few years, it means that not only can I finally be a son, because in my family of origin, I didn't get to be a son. I was that fixer. I was that entertainer. I was whatever it was to try to change or fix. But the beautiful thing about the kingdom of God is we not only get to be the son or the daughter, but we get to be a son or daughter of God. And what that means for me is that I can model my life like Jesus, that I can become the kind of person that is Jesus on the inside, not just managing behavior, not just aspiring to great things or things that I can do, but to really allow him to change me from the inside out. Of course, there's effort involved in that. There are things that I need to superimpose myself back up on the cross with Jesus so that he can kill what's killing me. He can kill those behaviors. He didn't go to the cross so we wouldn't have to. He went to the cross so that we could join him there. So that's our participation in that. So before I pray, I wanted to think about if the Beatitudes are not things to aspire to, what would be some of the Beatitudes for today? And as I read some of these, think about what your personal Beatitude might be. Maybe it's that thing that you're most ashamed of. Maybe it's the thing that you regret. Maybe it's the way that you've been formed because of harm that's come to you. So I wrote out some. Blessed are those that struggle with mental challenges, because in the kingdom of God, they can learn that God loves them just the way they are. Blessed are the homeless, because in the kingdom of God, they can finally be at home that they cannot lose or be taken away from. Blessed are those that are burned out on religion, because in the kingdom of God, they can learn how to live in the easy yoke of Jesus. Blessed are the deserted, the never married, the socially awkward, because in the kingdom of God, they will be treasured, accepted, and loved. Blessed are the traumatized by spiritual abuse, because in the kingdom of God, they can receive justice and healing, and their suffering can be redeemed. So I'm going to pray. I'm going to give just a few seconds to think about what would your personal blessed beatitude would be, or if you need to think about maybe people that you think, oh, they could never make it because of this. Instead, say blessed because in the kingdom, God will do this. Father, thank you for sending Jesus to open up your eternal kingdom, your kingdom that existed long before creation, long before the universe was ever created, and that he opened the door for us that by trusting in him as not only our Savior, but as our Lord, as our teacher that has essential knowledge about how life works, that we can trust him to help us with our lives where we are. We don't have to mimic his life. He did a great job. But we thank you that he's here to show us how to live our life if he were us. So, Father, as we think about those people that we think are counted out of the kingdom, that they could never make it in the kingdom, those people that aren't sharp, those people that are traumatized, the addicted, all those people, Father, give us the faith, the trust in you to know that they can be blessed because they can be in the kingdom of God, that you can redeem it, that you can redeem those parts of us that we're most ashamed of. We're grateful for your love and your mercy and your vision for us, that you love us as we are, that you accept us, that you are well pleased in us and want to help us with those things that are killing us from the inside out. We pray all this in Jesus' name. Amen.
That song again.
Amen. Good morning, family. My name is Tereji Coleman, and my wife and I, Ann, we help to serve in our West Cobb Smyrna community, one of our communities here at North River. And I'm so grateful that we can come together this morning to not only just learn from Jesus, but also reflect together on ways that we can put his words into practice. And I believe that Jeff said it best a few weeks ago, that we can put this series on Sermon on the Mount on repeat next week and learn so many things, because the Word of God is so rich and so powerful and transformative. And as we have been studying out the Sermon on the Mount this year, the song we just sung has really been the heart of my prayer in my walk with God, that God will help to increase my love, and I can become more and more like Jesus. You know, in Matthew 7, as Jesus is, you know, sort of wrapping up, concluding the Sermon on the Mount, he tells us that there are, you know, two roads. There's one, a wide one that many choose that leads to destruction, and also there's a narrow road that few choose, and that one leads to life. And in verse 15, he goes on to say, "Watch out for false prophets, that they will come to you in sheep's clothing, but inwardly they're ferocious wolves. By their fruit you will recognize them. Do people pick grapes from thorn bushes or figs from thistles? Likewise, every good tree bears good fruit, and a bad tree bears bad fruit. A good tree cannot bear bad fruit, and a bad tree cannot bear good fruit. Every tree that does not bear good fruit is cut down and thrown into the fire. Thus, by their fruit, you can recognize them. Not everyone who says to me, 'Lord, Lord,' will enter the kingdom of heaven, but only the one who does the will who is in my Father who is in heaven. Many will say to me on that day, 'Lord, Lord, did we not prophesy in your name? And did we not drive out demons, and in your name perform many miracles?' And I'll tell you plainly, I never knew you. Away from me, you evil doers." You know, as I read this passage over the years, I have tended to focus on other people and from a teaching perspective, and not so much as on myself. And of course, as when I got baptized and I made the decision to make Jesus Lord and live that narrow road. But, you know, none of us are immune to drifting, right? And for me, I love to work hard to accomplish things. I love to build. I love to help things to grow and get things done. You know, that's kind of how I'm wired. But for me, as I reflect on this passage and Jesus' transformative words, is that I just don't want to be a successful religious person who one day Jesus says, "I never knew you." But what I do want to have is continue to cultivate a vibrant, healthy, intimate relationship with our Lord Jesus. And for me, this passage really causes me to reflect on what drives me, what motivates me to live the life that I live. Is it for Jesus to say, "Well done, good and faithful servant," or is it the approval or validation of men? And a question that I ask myself, that I'm going to commit to continuing to ask myself to help define the answer to that question, is, who am I becoming? Yeah. To think about, as I'm living my life, just who am I becoming if I'm going to continue to be molded into Jesus? And I want to encourage us to continue to fight for that intimacy with our Lord and our Lord Jesus and our Heavenly Father. Join me in prayer. King Jesus, God, we surrender our hearts and mind to you, seeking to cultivate a deep relationship with you as we pray, as we sing songs, as we fellowship with one another. We ask that your Holy Spirit continue to guide us in understanding and truth and your word. And I pray that you'll continue to clear our hearts and fill it with gratitude and joy because of our relationship with you. Father, let our lives be a reflection of your love and your truth, and help us to bear the good fruit by our actions and our attitudes, so that others around us may see the light that's within us. And I pray that we continue to live lives that glorify you from the motivation that we just want you to see. We want you to say, well done, good and faithful servants. We love you, Father. We thank you so much for Jesus. In his name we pray. Amen.
Good morning, church. My name is Hope Bear, and I'm a senior at Kennesaw State. I'm studying psychology with a minor in child advocacy studies, and I transferred here from Chicago 3 years ago. I'm often asked, why would I move here to KSU? And the answer is for these people and to be part of our campus ministry and just part of the family that is. And it is truly a privilege to get to stand in front of you all today and just share some of the things that I'm learning about my walk with God and kind of what God's been showing me. And I love that we went through the Beatitudes, and Matthew 5:3 sticks out to me. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I read the scripture in a kind of different light. My mind focuses on the last few words, kingdom of heaven. And it has been really convicting reading through the Beatitudes and the Sermon on the Mount through the lens of seeing that my personal calling of discipleship and walk with God directly affects and correlates to how my family is doing. It just totally connects to my family. And for example, the ways that I have a lack of mercy and my own selfish tendencies put up walls of deceit towards the rest of my family when I choose to pull away and isolate in times of emotional just distress and hardship. Instead of being vulnerable, I'm missing out on opportunities to grow deeper bonds with the rest of my family and not kind of letting them in on what's going on in my own heart. And yeah, God completely just takes care of me and blesses me regardless of these things. And although I don't have much time, I do want to take a little bit of time to just express my gratitude for you all here and supporting me my time of moving here. And yeah, I just feel I was often overwhelmed for gratitude for you all. And I moved away from my family for the first time and from my home church and kind of everything that I've known, and came here with a number of fears and hesitations. And before I moved, my mom had me write these all down and make a list so she could pray for them. And she sent me a photo last year of the list, and literally all 10 of those hesitations and fear has been answered and is completely blessed. And one of those prayers was that I wanted to have friends from all generations in our church, from the babies, the teens, the old people, love it all. And truly, I need a little bit of all. But I just can't be more thankful for all those who have welcomed me into their lives and into their home just with open arms. And and entrusted me as well with all of your children, whether it's through Kids Kingdom or even just babysitting. I feel so blessed and just completely welcomed. And I know so many people just crave the opportunities and just blessings I've had through you all, and I'm just forever so grateful. And this summer, I got the opportunity to go to Camp Swamp and see what the hype is all about. And I ended up going, so I counseled 1 week and was just shown so much love and patience from everyone there. And it was my first time as well, so just an extra dose of patience was needed. And again, God blessed me, and I ended up loving it so much that I chose to go back for at least 1, 2 to 3 days a week for the following weeks of that summer. And was just blessed through His kingdom and got to build so many incredible relationships. And even got to meet a new lifelong best friend of mine, Priscilla from Mexico, who's here with us today. And these are only relationships that would be formed through literally the grace and love of God and His generosity. And I just feel so much love and felt so much of God and saw Him working there that, yeah, I just couldn't stay away. And I'm just so grateful for you all and just excited to see the way that God continues to work in our family and build our kingdom. And I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. Dear God, I just feel so undeserving and just overwhelmed with love to be here and be part of this family. And I just am so grateful for all the ways that you've loved me and protected me and cared for me and keep us all just so safe and loved. And I pray that for our family and that as we strive for unity and righteousness, that we can just aim to be people who live according to your spirit and love each other and lay down our lives for one another. And love you so much and pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
While we're continuing on with prayer and we worship together, just think about the name of Jesus. Think about what He's done for you. Think about His word. Scripture tells us to hide His word in our heart. So just think about that and ponder on Him and His awe and glory.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Sing that with me, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in your name, God.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in your name.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain.
Break every chain.
Mm-hmm.
Let's stand up together. Oh, y'all standing. Amen.
Express my appreciation for everyone that has shared this morning. It's just so rich to hear different experiences, different approaches. I'm grateful to be one of the old people in the church. Amen. I've arrived. Amen. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be a little different today. One of the things that, I don't know about you, but I grew up going to a church and oftentimes, the majority of the time, at the last amen, I was walking to the car, you know, and that's just the way it was. And, you know, this is a unique moment in the week. This moment where we're all together in one place and we're singing and we're praying, we're hearing the same things. It's a unique moment. And it is a powerful moment that can't really be replicated when you're at your cubicle or when you're doing other things through the week. So We thought even today, okay, we come together, we sing, we do take the Lord's Supper together. We do that every week. And what we thought today is what we could do is we could allow you with the people in your row, maybe two or three people closest to you, that you all could, in remembrance of Jesus, pray together. What is it about Jesus that moves you today? What are you remembering about Jesus that maybe you've heard, maybe someone shared about that inspired you, resonated with you? But we wanted to give you an opportunity so that you can connect with each other, not just with you and God, or not just receive what you hear on stage, but to take some time with the people closest to you around you. They may be a complete stranger. Guess what? What a great way to break the ice. Pray together in a church. And so what we're going to do is give you some time, pray together with the people nearest you. And I will come up and kind of, as I know voices will be going, but I'll try to say kind of a concluding prayer together. That'll give you the cue that, okay, we need to kind of rein it back in. And then we'll take the Lord's Supper together. Something a little different. So at this point, we'll kind of let you guys figure it out who's nearest you. Pray in remembrance of Jesus. I'll come back and conclude with a prayer, and we'll give you some time. Thank you.
Good morning, church. My name is Hope Bear, and I'm a senior at Kennesaw State. I'm studying psychology with a minor in child advocacy studies, and I transferred here from Chicago 3 years ago. I'm often asked, why would I move here to KSU? And the answer is for these people and to be part of our campus ministry and just part of the family that is. And it is truly a privilege to get to stand in front of you all today and just share some of the things that I'm learning about my walk with God and kind of what God's been showing me. And I love that we went through the Beatitudes, and Matthew 5:3 sticks out to me. It says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." And I read the scripture in a kind of different light. My mind focuses on the last few words, kingdom of heaven. And it has been really convicting reading through the Beatitudes and Sermon on the Mount through the lens of seeing that my personal calling of discipleship and walk with God directly affects and correlates to how my family is doing. Just totally connects to my family. And for example, the ways that I have a lack of mercy and my own selfish tendencies put up walls of deceit towards the rest of my family. When I choose to pull away and isolate in times of emotional just distress and hardship, instead of being vulnerable, I'm missing out on opportunities to grow deeper bonds with the rest of my family and not kind of letting them in on what's going on in my own heart. And Yeah, God completely just takes care of me and blesses me regardless of these things. And although I don't have much time, I do want to take a little bit of time to just express my gratitude for you all here and supporting me my time of moving here. And yeah, I just feel I was often overwhelmed for gratitude for you all. And I moved away from my family for the first time and from my home church and kind of everything that I've known, and came here with a number of fears and hesitations. And before I moved, my mom had me write these all down and make a list so she could pray for them. And she sent me a photo last year of the list, and literally all 10 of those hesitations and fears has been answered and is completely blessed. And one of those prayers was that I wanted to have friends from all generations in our church, from the babies, the teens, the old people, love it all. And yeah, and truly I need a little bit of all. But I just can't be more thankful for all those who have welcomed me into their lives and into their home just with open arms. And and entrusted me as well with all of your children, whether it's through Kids Kingdom or even just babysitting. I feel so blessed and just completely welcomed. And I know so many people just crave the opportunities and just blessings I've had through you all, and I'm just forever so grateful. And this summer, I got the opportunity to go to Camp Swamp and see what the hype is all about. And I ended up going, so I counseled 1 week and was just shown so much love and patience from everyone there. And it was my first time as well, so just an extra dose of patience was needed. And again, God blessed me, and I ended up loving it so much that I chose to go back for at least 1, 2 to 3 days a week for the following weeks of that summer. And was just blessed through His kingdom and got to build so many incredible relationships. And even got to meet a new lifelong best friend of mine, Priscilla from Mexico, who's here with us today. And these are only relationships that would be formed through literally the grace and love of God and His generosity. And I just feel so much love and felt so much of God and saw Him working there that, yeah, I just couldn't stay away. And I'm just so grateful for you all and just excited to see the way that God continues to work in our family and builds our kingdom. And I'm going to go ahead and pray for us. Dear God, I just feel so undeserving and just overwhelmed with love to be here and be part of this family. And I just am so grateful for all the ways that you've loved me and protected me and cared for me and keep us all just so safe and loved. And I pray that for our family and that as we strive for unity and righteousness, that we can just aim to be people who live according to your spirit and love each other and lay down our lives for one another. And love you so much and pray all these things in your son's name. Amen.
While we're continuing on with prayer and we worship together, just think about the name of Jesus. Think about what He's done for you. Think about His word. Scripture tells us to hide His word in our heart. So just think about that and ponder on Him and His awe and glory.
There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. There is power in the name of Jesus. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. To break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Sing that with me, there is power.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in your name, God.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
There is power in your name.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
To break every chain.
To break every chain.
Break every chain.
Break every chain.
Together. Oh, y'all standing. Amen.
There's an army rising up.
Let's worship God together. There's an army.
There's an army rising up. There's an army rising up. To break every chain, break every chain. Break every chain.
is power in the name of Jesus.
Sing it with me.
There is power in the name of Jesus.
Break every chain,
break every chain, break every chain, break every chain.
Every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain,
break every chain, break every chain.
Amen.
I just want to really express my appreciation for everyone that has shared this morning. It's just so rich to hear different experiences, different approaches. I'm grateful to be one of the old people in the church. Amen. I've arrived. Amen. Amen. So as I mentioned earlier, it's going to be a little different today. One of the things that, I don't know about you, but I grew up going to a church and oftentimes, the majority of the time, at the last amen, I was walking to the car, you know, and that's just the way it was. And, you know, this is a unique moment in the week. This moment where we're all together in one place and we're singing and we're praying, we're hearing the same things. It's a unique moment. And it is a powerful moment that can't really be replicated when you're at your cubicle or when you're doing other things through the week. So, we thought even today, okay, we come together, we sing, we do take the Lord's Supper together. We do that every week. And what we thought today is what we could do is we could allow you with the people in your row, maybe two or three people closest to you, that you all could, in remembrance of Jesus, pray together. What is it about Jesus that moves you today? What are you remembering about Jesus that maybe you've heard, maybe someone shared about that inspired you, resonated with you? But we wanted to give you an opportunity so that you can connect with each other, not just with you and God, or not just receive what you hear on stage, but to take some time with the people closest to you around you. They may be a complete stranger. Guess what? What a great way to break the ice. Pray together in a church. And so what we're going to do is give you some time, pray together with the people nearest you. And I will come up and kind of, as I know voices will be going, but I'll try to say kind of a concluding prayer together. That'll give you the cue that, okay, we need to kind of rein it back in. And then we'll take the Lord's Supper together. Something a little different. So at this point, we'll kind of let you guys figure it out who's nearest you. Pray in remembrance of Jesus. I'll come back and conclude with a prayer, and we'll give you some time. Thank you.